Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson, especially toward the beginning. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. This is the text. And with everything else that happens in the parable, don't let that main idea get pushed to the side or forgotten, because there are these different parts of the parable that are of a darker nature, but that's the main picture, the main image. The kingdom of heaven is like a wedding banquet. How sweet is that? And what happens at a wedding banquet? Joy, gladness, laughter, dancing, music, all kinds of celebration. That's what goes on. And it goes on, and it goes on, and on, and on. And if you have the misfortune to live next door to a place that hosts wedding banquets, you know it goes on, and on, and on, and on, late into the night. That's part of the picture, too. It's part of the picture of heaven, where this is a banquet that goes on, and on, and on, and on. This is the banquet of life. And how long does it last? Forever. That's the controlling picture and image of this. All of the rest, artists call it a foil. It's a thing in the background that helps make the main idea jump out at you. So, a little bit of the foil. Those invited to the wedding banquet didn't want it. They wandered off. They didn't realize just how sweet of a celebration they were invited to be a part of. What they missed is an amazing thing. Again, another part of the foil. The servants who are sent, we'll say the prophets, we'll say the evangelists, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we'll say the apostles sent out into the world. And how many of them lived to a ripe old age and did not die martyr's death? Only John. And Christians ever since have faced persecution and hardship and suffering and even death for the sake of the name of Jesus Christ and in order to invite to the wedding banquet. But that only serves again to say just how amazing a thing we are invited to be a part of. This is the feast of life. It is a celebration of all the blessings that God can dream up and put together and pour out on us if He has all eternity to dream up these blessings and all eternity to give them. What an amazing thing. Again, another part of the foil. And the king coming in found a guy there who didn't have a wedding garment and said, toss him out. And again, the same lesson, what he was missing. But now we start digging into more of the meat of this thing, because you start looking at the whole idea of the wedding garment. Culturally, it was a white robe that wedding guests would receive, one supplied to them by the person putting on the feast. A white robe to cover themselves in so that they could be a part of the celebration and dress accordingly. And that picture, the Bible picks up on. Back in the Old Testament, Isaiah talks about the robes of God's righteousness that He clothes us in. And Paul talks about the robes of righteousness. And the book of Revelation talks about the great multitude that no one could count in white robes with palm branches in their hands, celebrating and shouting out, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. What is that white robe of righteousness? Well, we could ask confirmation kids, or we could just say it right out. It is the holy life of Jesus, perfect from beginning to end, holy and righteous in every single way, perfect in faith, perfect in devotion, perfect in love, perfect in trust, perfect in caring for his neighbor. And then it is the holiness of Jesus clothing us as he took our sin and covered himself in our sin and went to the cross. We're talking about the great exchange. That Jesus, having taken all the sins of the whole world from beginning to end, then in exchange gives us his own holiness. He doesn't give us a starter kit of holiness. He gives us the whole thing. His holiness, full and complete, to clothe ourselves in, to have him rather clothe us in, so that on the day of judgment we stand before the throne of God and God says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And on that day we stand there wondering, where's the well done? If I look back on my life, I don't see much well done. I'm a sinner. But it is not me and my works. Again, it is the robes of the righteousness of Jesus Christ clothing us. And with that given for absolutely no cost, with that given to us freely, then how can we help but celebrate? It's a feast of life. A feast of life with music and dancing and celebration. And by the way, I've been in a church where they danced their way up the aisle to receive communion. Have been. It was over in Africa, half a world away. And you stand there and you wonder, what is going on? And they will turn and they will tell you, do you realize what we are receiving this day? We're receiving the body and blood of Jesus Christ, and we're not worthy of it, but he's giving it to us anyway. How should we not dance? And with Western feet, it's kind of hard to dance their dance, but point taken, okay? It's time for celebration because Jesus Christ is good. He is amazingly good. He is a wondrous Savior. And this is what we have been given. Now, to flesh out another part of the parable, you know what happens when the king says, the wedding feast is there. I have no guests. What am I to do? He sends his servants out. Where do they go? Anywhere and everywhere. Go to the main roads, go to the side roads, go anywhere where you can find people, bring them in, compel them to come. The invitation is so powerful that there must be guests. That now is what has been going on for almost 2,000 years. The Christian church sent out into the whole world. Anywhere where we can find somebody who hasn't heard about this great feast of life, find them, invite them, bring them in. That's missions. Missions is not necessarily overseas. Missions is not necessarily giving money to those who will go to a distant country. Missions is anywhere you find somebody who is waiting to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Bring the joy. Bring the celebration. Bring the good news. Bring the invitation. and let God's house be filled. So, the banquet of life. Little detour. Did you notice the Old Testament lesson? On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food. I want to save something of that lesson for about 3 years from now. But on this mountain, what mountain is that? That would be Calvary. On this mountain, what did God do? He sent His Son. On this mountain, what did Jesus do? He bled and died. On this mountain, what has been given to you? Forgiveness and life and salvation. On this mountain, what has God opened up to you? Heaven, eternal life, all the joys of being His people on this mountain. This is a bit of mixed metaphor, isn't it? There's a wedding banquet. The king is giving a wedding banquet for his son. Who's the king? Well, that would be God the Father. Who is his son? That would be Jesus Christ. Who is the one who makes himself into the feast? Oh, that is Jesus Christ, who invites us to the banquet. Come to the table. And what does he offer us there? Not any ordinary food. He offers himself, his living body, his own blood shed for us. And I love to say it and teach it this way to the children in confirmation. What we are given in the Lord's Supper is the living, risen from the dead body and blood of Jesus, with all of the power of Easter packed into it, so that when you take and eat and drink, that Easter power, that life-giving body and blood of Jesus opens up all of eternity for you, pours into your soul, into every part of you, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now that's a banquet of life. The great tragedy is that with such a banquet and such an amazing meal offered and given by God Himself making Himself the banquet, that with all of that offered, that there are those who still turn away. That's why we still have missions. That's why we have a Lutheran Women's Missionary League. That's why Christians all over the world, even those undergoing persecution, they look at the unbelievers around them, even those persecuting the Christians, and they say to themselves, if only they could believe, they would share that banquet of life with us, and they would live for all eternity with us. And that's a good enough place to stop, isn't it? In Jesus' name, Amen.